All right, let's go to Psalm 119, verse 105. This past week was a great week in the world. We had Powerball, and I don't know about your workplace, but my workplace went absolutely nuts over it. People getting their lives all sorts of in order, what they're going to do when they hit the Powerball. And boy, that was just a great thing. And then Powerball passed, and no one won, and the depression set in. I mean, just the insanity of mankind just cracks me up. Most people live their life from day to day, thought to thought, and are ruled by the wave of life. That's what I like to call it. Like the wind blows this way, and off they go. Then the wind blows that way, and they go this way. You know, and they feel this way, and, you know, this emotion drives them up. And they feel that way, and this emotion drives them down. And no standard whatsoever. Wherever, you know, the morsels of life are there, they reach and they grab. And it's kind of a fatalistic view. Years ago, there was a song, Doris Day, I believe, sang it, Que Sera, Sera. Whatever will be, you know. And that's kind of like where most of mankind is at. Oh, the Cochrans are here. Hey, guys. Bless you. Is Rose here? Oh, yeah. All right. Hi, Rosie. If you don't know Rose, wonderful woman of God. But we don't live that way. And if we do, we need to change. Okay? We as Christians are on a much higher plane, and we control ultimately what our life is going to be like. We are not destined for anything except greatness. And as we read the scriptures, it shows us where we are headed, shows us where we're at, and it shows us where we're going to be. So pretty cool things to know. We're not ruled by circumstances, and certainly we do have obstacles thrown in our paths. Life is not a bowl of cherries, okay, although they're delicious, and I know a lot about cherries. You can ask my wife. I eat them all the time. Life is not a bowl of cherries, and life is not going to be this sunny, delightful, sing-song thing. You're going to have stuff come up that sometimes is going to stop you dead in your tracks, and how you handle it determines what kind of person you are. As believers of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Scriptures, we go to the Scriptures for our answers, and that's where we're at. So Psalm 119, verse 105, I'm not there. Figures, I'm always a little bit behind most people. It says, thy word, and when we talk about the word, we talk about the Bible. And let me explain something else to you. When you crack this book open, okay, this was said to me years ago, and it's something I always remember. This isn't just like War and Peace or, you know, Webster's Dictionary or Roger's Thesaurus or something like that, or, you know, any kind of dime store novel. This is the Holy Scriptures, okay? This was handed down by God to mankind so that he could walk with him, okay? So when we open the scriptures, we need to grab hold of them and think about what we're reading and realize that this is God talking to us. It's what he would have you know so that we can honor him in our lives. Okay? And in Psalm 119, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. What the heck does that mean? Well, think about it. It's a light, a lamp unto my feet. It shows me where I'm at. Okay, and it's a light unto my path. It shows me where I can go. Okay, it gives you direction, and it shows you where you're at. Pretty simple. Okay, if you go and you buy a washing machine after fellowship today, okay, in that washing machine, you're going to get a book of directions, and it'll tell you don't put rocks in it. Okay, it'll tell you first to plug it in, which I always think is hilarious. Like, duh. Okay, but there's people like David. No offense. This thing doesn't work. Okay, you know, you got to hook water up to it and everything. It's the same thing with the scriptures. You know, it's our direction in life as Christians. If you took the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that he's the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead, then your life is changed. Okay, you're no longer the Lord in your life. You said, okay, Jesus Christ, direct me. So now you got to go to the scriptures for the direction, and that's exactly what we're doing here. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, another great scripture. See, God just didn't throw mankind to the wolves. Said, okay, go figure it out on your own, guys. That wouldn't be very loving, would it? Be like if your parents, you know, raised you and kicked you out when you were 16 and said, have fun, you know, and you never talk to them again. That wouldn't be loving at all. And neither God's not like that with us either. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, well, verse 3, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who, God, will have all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. All right, it's great to be a son, and it's great to know that, but you also need a knowledge of the truth of God's word in your life, because without that, there's no standard. I remember being here years ago. Sid was teaching on marriage, and he was talking to a couple, and he asked him, well, what's your standard? You know, what happens when you guys disagree? Well, she says this, and I say that, and we fight, and then we come up with that's not it. You know, we go, as Christians, we go to the Word, we find out what the Word says, okay, and then we decide to believe that as a couple, keeping God first and foremost. And that's the way life is to be, directed by the Word. Go to John chapter 10. And living this way is the greatest way to live, and it's the way that God would have us to live. The more of the Word that we put on in our lives, the freer our lives will be, the greater our lives will be, the more abundant our lives will be, the more fascinating our lives will be. I don't want a mundane life. Okay, I had that for years. I want to live a life that has some viability to it, some spark, you know, some excitement. I want to know that when I pray that it makes a difference. I want to know that, you know, I got a family that loves me and that, you know, fights alongside me. And that's wonderful things that we find out from reading the Word. In John chapter 10, Jesus Christ talking here in verse 10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that is God's desire for our lives. He wants us not just to have a life, but he wants it to be full of vitality. He wants it to be dynamic, okay? Not just mundane, day-to-day, you know, blown by the wind here and there. In John chapter 8, go back a couple pages. Again, Jesus Christ talking, and you can tell because of the red letters. Throw that in there. Okay. Maybe your Bible doesn't have it. Verse 30, it says, and he spake these words, and many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, he said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall do what? You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, it'll be freeing. It'll give you the answers that you need in life. And you know what? God never gives bad advice, and he's never failed anybody yet. Every promise that God has ever given, he's brought to pass. So we can rely on him. He's reliable. He's a faithful God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, do a little bit of jumping around here. Actually, 2 Peter, I apologize. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be added to you. What? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Grace and peace be divided unto you. Oh, wait, be multiplied unto you. Well, that's a pretty good promise. Through what? Through reading the Wall Street Journal. No. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, where are you going to get a knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord? By the Bible, right, by understanding what the Scriptures say. Okay, this isn't like tough stuff here. This is like, you know, basics, very simple, because we're going to get into the meat of this teaching here. Okay, but as long as you get this down, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through a knowledge of who? And where do we get that knowledge? I see. I knew you guys were paying attention. Very good. Okay? So that's right. So it's through a knowledge of the Scriptures. Okay? So if you want to know God, you don't go out and, you know, stand in nature and say, show yourself. You come here to the Scriptures, because this is where God reveals himself. Okay? But in order to get there, the first thing you need to do is accept Christ, because Jesus Christ is the way, truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. Okay? That's prerequisite. Otherwise, you're never going to get it. It says that natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for the foolishness unto him, neither can he receive it because they're spiritually discerned. Matthew chapter 12. So we got these precious promises, which are fantastic to know. So where do we get to find out about them? Do we go to Macy's? We were there yesterday. I don't know. I didn't see them. So we went over to Sears. They didn't have them. Target. No good. They were off Target. We even had a coupon. Matthew 12. Matthew's before these guys. Been spending a lot of time in the Gospels lately. And it's just wonderful. I miss them. Just great to read them, because it's just chock full of wonderful knowledge. I don't think this is right. Oh, no, it is right. Okay. Matthew 12, verse 34. This isn't referring to us, okay. Oh, generation of vipers. No, it's not talking to us. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? But this is the part I want to say. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Okay. And this is important to know. What you're feeding yourself is what you're going to talk about. If you sell shoes, what are you going to talk about?
Shoes.
Okay. If you're in school and you study calculus all day, what do you talk about? Calculus, yeah. You know, that's the way man is. Sometimes, lots of times you don't want to talk about anything, you just want to party. I went to college. Okay. But whatever you put in is what comes out. Okay, whatever you're feeding on, whatever you're munching down in your mind is what's going to come out of your mouth. Okay, and what we want to be munching on is the great things of God. In verse 35, it says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. So we want to put that good munchy stuff in our lives. The best granola in life is the Word of God. Okay, you like M&Ms? This is way better. Okay, and it's never going to rot your teeth or anything like that. It's always going to stand firm for you, and it's always going to come to pass. But if you want to know what's going on in someone's life, just listen to what they talk about, okay? And that'll tell you where their head's at, okay? The tongue will always give you away. We used to have an expression years ago that said, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have, and I will be what the Word of God says I'll be. And man, that's such a great, great expression, because it's true. Because as believers, we are what the Word says we are. No matter if we feel that way, or, you know, if you decide to live that way, it doesn't matter. Okay? You have what God says you have. Now, am I righteous or not? Well, the Word of God says I am righteous, right? So, am I righteous? Yeah, is God? Am I bigger than God? Did I create God, or did God create me? Did the Ford create Henry? You know, remember that? You know, so if God says you're righteous in his eyes, that you're cleansed of all sin, are you righteous and cleansed of all? Yes. Okay, it doesn't matter if you feel that way. You may not ever feel that way. You know, you may be, you know, have a bunch of stuff on your head that you did before you got, you know, before you accepted Christ. Maybe you didn't live the cleanest life. But you know what? Doesn't matter. You are what the Word says you are. You know, maybe I have a cold, but the Word of God says that, you know, I'm healed. By His stripes, I've been made whole. Well, what's the truth? What God says or what I feel? You know, I may have a cold, but I'm still healed. You know, I may not walk, but I'm still healed, right, Alex? That's right. By His stripes. Doesn't matter. But as we put that Word on in our lives, then it becomes part of our physical life, and you get the deliverance. But you have to go there daily, daily, daily. And it's a word, it's a thought-by-thought deal. You have to wonder, does my confession of my mouth line up with what the Word says? Let's go to James 3. This chapter is totally dedicated to this. A lot of people stay away from this book. I love this book. It's a great book. And it's talking to the family of God here. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation. And that's talking about something that we're not even getting at. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. So if his what comes out of his mouth is cool, then he has, you know, he's a mature person. He's someone that, you know, has taken the Word and made it his own. Okay, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths. You know that thing that you're a vet. It's that thing you put in a horse's mouth. It's called a bit. I grew up in the Bronx and never saw that. And the reason is that they may obey us and we turn about their whole body. You know, you pull the rein this way, the horse goes this way, hopefully. Me, I had trouble with the horses. They never obeyed me. But that's the whole thing. Behold, also ships, though they be so great, they're driven of the fierce winds. Yet they're turned about with a small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. You know, when the guy's driving the ship, if he steers this way, you know, there's a little thing on the back of that boat. The thing could be huge, but there's a little flap on the back, and that determines which way this thing's going to go. Pretty cool. Just that little thing. That's the way our tongue is. It's the same thing with our life, okay? That little tongue, what comes out of the mouth, is going to direct our lives. Whatever your confession, even so, the tongue is a little member, see? This is a simile, I believe, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is on the fire of hell. In other words, sin is in it. For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. You know, you can tame all this stuff, but getting this under control will be the toughest thing you take on in life. And it's because one thought at a time, one thought at a time. Now you're going to get wacky thoughts. You are. You're going to get some stuff that comes in your mind at a time. And you're going to be like, where the heck did that come from? Okay. But it's not talking about the thought that comes in. It's talking about, what am I dwelling on? Okay? You're going to get wacky, but those, you know, you could dismiss that stuff, you know? And that's what we need to do. It says, but the tongue can no man tame, so why even bother? No, that's not. It's just saying, it's a deadly poison. It's tough. It's not an easy thing to do, but it can be done. Okay? It can be done. Wherewith we bless God, even the Father, and wherewith we curse we men, which are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceeding blessings and cursings. And it says, my brethren, this oughtn't happen. You know, we ought to speak, you know, happy godly thoughts all the time. You know, say what the word says. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh water. So that's our thought life, and it's what proceeds out of our mouth. Okay? So it gives you an idea of what do we gotta feed our minds to get our mouth under control. We have to feed it what the word says. And then we have to take that word and we have to put it on. You can read the Bible and you can learn the Bible. Khrushchev was one of the leaders of the Soviet Union at one time, and he could recite the Gospels. He knew them backwards and forwards. Very smart man, but dumb as a bag of donuts because he didn't believe any of it. Okay? And that's what it comes down to. What do you believe? What are you going to dwell on in your life, and what are you going to put on in your heart and live your life? And this kind of thinking in our society is very foreign, okay? Controlling your thinking. Now, in other cultures, it's not like that. Go to Matthew chapter 6. In the Middle East, from a child, from what I understand, I've never lived in the Middle East, but I've known some people from there, they're taught from a young age to control their mind, to not let it run wild. In our culture and society, we accept it and we kind of encourage it. Thank you. I was looking for the word. Here, just take this video game and just go crazy. You know, do whatever you want. You know, it's just like, wow, we're really helping our children, aren't we? You know, our children need to obey us. And if they don't, you need to correct them with the word. Okay, tell them what the word of God says. You know, that's loving. To just let a child run crazy, that's not loving. But I want to be their friend. That's not being a parent. Okay, it's great to have your kids as your friends, but you know what? You're the only parent that child's going to get. And you need to give them the boot. I don't care if they're 35, 40 years old. Every now and then, you need to straighten them out if you see them doing something wrong. You know, if you could be their friend after that, that's great. But you know what? I'd rather be a parent to my kid, and they understand that, because I'm thankful my kids turned out pretty darn good. At least I think so. I'm not sure about that younger one yet. He's getting there. No, I'm teasing. No, my kids are great. Anyway, back to the word. Matthew 6, verse 19. And this is something they would have understood in their culture, but to us is kind of foreign. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Now, in their culture, they would understood that these treasures are talking about thoughts. And moth and rust are talking about doubt and worry. You know, they cause corruption, and where fear breaks through and steals the great things in life. You know, taking a stand on what the word says in your life isn't always easy. And maybe your friends will laugh at you, you know. Let them laugh. I don't care. They're going to laugh anyway at me. I really don't care what people think about me. You know, the one I have to stand before is God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. But it does say, verse 20, it says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither doubt or worry doth corrupt, or fear breaks through and steals. For where your treasure is, where your thought is, that's where your heart will be also. And where your heart is what your will come out of your mouth. It'll be what you talk about. So get a good, healthy diet of Wheaties. No, get a good, healthy diet of Ephesians in the morning. You know, take a big chomp out of Second Chronicles. You know, Genesis is delicious first thing in the morning when I get up. And then at nighttime, Colossians before you go to bed. It's really good, you know. Or whatever your diet wants to be, you know. But, I mean, Ezekiel, not a bad thing to sink your teeth in. So it's a good, healthy diet. And you know what? It's God's words to you. So they're faithful words. They're not going to let you down. Proverbs chapter 3. We're coming around third. I have a child that always says that. And verse 1, it says, my son, everybody there? Okay, yeah. It says, forget not my law. Okay, and this word law can be forget not my word. Okay, don't forget the word. But let thine heart keep my commandments or my word. Okay, another thing is the commandments is the word. Let it keep the word. For length of days, holy mackerel, and long life and peace shall they add to thee. You mean there's benefits to this? There's a benefit packet? Yeah. Remember before we read that, you know, you'll have life and have it more abundantly? Not a bad thing. Not just the mundane day-to-day, going to do this, going to do that. You know, but, you know, a life full of some vigor, you know, there's some vibrancy to it, you know. It's not just the same old, same old. Long life. I like that idea. And peace. You know, that's worth it right there. You know, people spend millions and millions and millions of dollars going to psychiatrists and doctors and all these different things trying to, you know, get some peace in their life. When all it takes is knowing the Prince of Peace. That's all it takes. You know, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and God, your life can be full of peace. You know, you can rest your head at night, you know, knowing that you have a certainty of the future. You don't have to worry about, well, you know, what happens when I die, you know? This has all the answers, you know? It tells you, you'll be fine, trust me. I've read the book, okay? Then it goes on to say, let not mercy or kindness and truth forsake thee. Okay, again, you know, what does it mean when it says truth? It says, Jesus Christ said, thy word is truth. Okay? Bind them about thy neck. Now, who does the binding? We do. Right, exactly. And write them upon the table of where? Thine heart. See? It's a heart thing. It goes back to the heart. And you know what? It says, I think it's in Kings, that God looketh upon the heart. That David was acceptable before him because his heart was pure. You know, that's what we want to do. And the reason his heart was pure is because he developed a relationship with God, and God taught him. He had the scriptures, and he put them in his brain. Pretty neat stuff. It doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take some time. It's going to take effort. Okay? It just doesn't happen. You know, we just don't attain, you know, this great life that we have available to us. You know, and, you know, maybe your idea of life is, you know, you just want to have this and that. That's great. But God's idea of life is that he wants us to live as more than conquerors, to understand that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, as it says in Romans 8, shall separate us from the love of God. He wants you to understand that, to have a great knowledge of that. But imagine being more than conquerors in everything that you came up against in life. Well, yeah, we are. You know, and we can be. We can overcome whatever obstacle is thrown in our path. Because who's right along with us at all time? I got Christ in me, okay? And God was in Christ. So I got God in Christ in me. Well, who's bigger than that? If God be for us, who could be against us? Right, thank you. Psalm chapter 1. And this is where we're going to end. So control your mind and your thought life, and you will control your life. You know, they sell books on self-help books, and, you know, that's basically what they talk about. And it's all where they steal the information. But you know what? They're not giving you the true word of God to stand on. You know, positive thinking and, you know, you'll be fine, and you'll fall flat on your face eventually. You know, but the ideas that they got this all from were based from the scriptures. Verse 1 says, blessed. You know, blessed means? It means that you're happy. It's good to be happy. It's good to be joyous. And you know, and if you have trouble being happy or joyous, hang out with me for a while. Or hang out with Steve Donovan. Steve Donovan's one of the happiest people I know. He is. And you know why? Because he's built the Word in his life. He's a joy to be around. Warren, you're kind of pain. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, any of these guys in the room, that, you know, we got great people here, man. Love you up. Just great. Rob Cochran, fantastic man of God. Look at his wonderful family, you know. I mean, you guys are great examples of this. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, that when you need help, you run to the judge or, you know, to the world. But nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, and this word delight is cool. It means the thing that you value. You know, it's what you look to. It's your delight. You know, what do you look forward to every day? You know, is it time with God? You know, I look forward to a lot of things. I look forward to spending time with my wife. When I get home from work, I look forward to a vodka and something. You know, but I do. I spend time with my Father, and I delight in that. That's the highlight of my day. I want to have time with my Father, and I do that every day. I make some time. Yeah, it's great. Your delight is in the Word, in the law of the Lord, and in His Word doth you meditate day and night. And you know what day and night means? All the time. It's basically because there's only day and night. That's it. You know. And if you don't do that every day, it's okay. Build your life to get there. You know, don't give up. Oh, I just can't do this. It's too difficult. You know, no, you can do it. And you know what? You'll have that peace. You'll have that long life. You'll have that mercy, that kindness. And the attributes of God will become part of your life, that gentleness, that peace, that long-suffering. It's worth it. It's so worth it. And we are the only ones out there that the world's going to learn about Christ from, you know. So we have to put something good out there. All right, so day and night. And then it says, and if you do this, you're going to be like a tree. Great. Just what I want it to be, a plant. No, you're going to be like a tree, not a tree. Okay, that's different. You're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In other words, you're never going to thirst after anything. Okay, you're going to be satisfied. And you're going to bring forth your fruit when it's due and in your season at the right time. You know, and that fruit ain't going to be like junk. It's not going to be olive berries on a fig tree. Okay, it's going to put out good fruit. Okay, and your leaf also isn't going to wither. You know, it's not going to be like. And whatsoever, what's that word? Whatsoever. Wait a second, it's too good to be true. I didn't write this. Solomon wrote this years ago by direction of God. Okay? We're in Psalms, not Proverbs. I'm not sure who wrote this, but one of the psalmists wrote this. Whatsoever he doth shall prosper. That's incredible. Whatever you're going to do is going to be profitable. Pretty good. I like being successful. You know, who out here likes being a failure? Anybody? No? Nathan, you like being a failure? No. That's right. So keep God first in your thought life, and don't count him out. And you know what? Take some time. Spend time with the Father and just love him up, and he'll love you too. All right? Amen? Amen.